it right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? It's hard to believe it's another week. Seems like just yesterday I was in Vegas.
You were in Vegas yesterday, weren't you? Oh, when did you get back?
No, I got back. What is today? I don't even know what day. No, I've been back a day.
It's 2 o'clock on a Wednesday because we're live on Knockout Radio.
It's Wednesday. We know you don't give times. Oh, no
yeah.
Times.
Oh yeah, we're live on Wednesday. Knockout Radio.
We're here.
We're back.
We're here
together.
Great time in Vegas. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fights. Arguably, my favorite fight of all time.
Which was
the Masvidal fight.
The flying knee.
Oh my God.
Come on.
Oh my God.
That's your favorite fight of all time.
It might have to be.
What?
Because when you talk crap consistently, you know, when he beat Robbie Lawler and he turned to Dana and said, is that the best you got? I mean, come on.
I beat him with a bulldog choke.
Now, he's been humbled.
He's humbled.
And from what I understand, I saw a tweet that he said, I guess I deserved it.
Yeah, but a stun was up. And so early stoppage? I mean,
I've got video. I went to the after press conference, and John Morgan asked Masvidal, do you think it was excessive? And he said, no, they were definitely needed to be done.
Yeah.
And he said, until the ref, which is true, until the ref comes over and takes you off, until the ref comes over, puts his hand on you, and stops the fight,
sure,
it's free game. And probably the rawest, realest response of the years and decades that I've covered any sport is when Masvidal said, when is enough enough? It's okay to talk all that crap leading up to a fight. And he mentioned Connor,
right,
not by name, but he said it's okay to talk religion and wives and children and manhood and, you know, all these other things. But once the fight's over, it's wash and it's done. Because did you see what he did after the fight?
Yeah, he got down and
fell
slapped.
Back down.
Yeah, he pretended like he was out.
I thought it was awesome. And again, I know that, and you have said, and Sean has said, and people have said, you know, that I'm not wishy-washy, but one minute I like it and one minute I don't. I get that.
Sure.
I like this one.
You liked it because of who it was? You liked it because he came in from a different federation or he was the king?
Well, who picked it? Who did I pick in this fight? I picked Masvidal.
Yeah.
And I said, I will always take a good, great UFC fighter over a good, great fighter that's coming to the UFC.
Sure.
You know, would you ever take a Canadian football player? Would you ever take an arena football player?
I mean, I would take, who was the guy, the grocery store bagger? What was the guy's name?
Oh, that was Pinball.
No, who's the guy from St. Louis?
Oh, you're talking about Kurt Warner.
Yeah, I take Kurt Warner.
But no, Kurt Warner didn't come straight from the arena and become the superstar. He came from the arena, played, worked his way up, wasn't even starting.
He came from Winn-Dixie.
So. I'm not sure it was Winn-Dixie. It was probably a Shop and Go or
Piggly
something.
Wiggly.
Yeah, or whatever. I told you about Kurt Warner when I tweeted him, right?
No.
You know that story.
Oh, yeah.
About his son's broken leg.
That's right.
And he said, thank you for the advice. Little sarcastic.
Why do you troll so many people online?
First of all, I don't troll.
You're a troll.
I don't. I respond. If you put a tweet out there, or in this particular case, if somebody says, you're a great father, listen, I'm going to say this to you on the air, and I will say this to you in person.
Okay.
If one of the two of your daughters breaks a leg,
right,
and you come to make pizza instead of going to the hospital and waiting for your daughter to come out of surgery, you're a moron.
I deserve that.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner went to work while his son went to the hospital. I would have understood if Kurt Warner or anybody else got in a plane, flew to their job as a commentator or whatever, son back in Denver, breaks his leg, he can't get back.
Right.
I understand
sure.
that. But if you're in the town where the leg was broken, I'm sorry.
So what would be your tweet response to Ben Askren when he put, well, that sucked?
Good ups. I'm saying, I was talking to Elvis Sinisek, my buddy down in Australia, and, you know, we've been going back and forth talking about it, and I respect him more now. Not that I respected him any at all before,
right.
But you know, big ups. That sucked. Well, it did. I mean, he didn't make excuses.
Fastest loss in UFC history.
He did.
Probably, what, 3 seconds in reality?
In reality, it was three.
I mean, the ref
might have been 2.5.
The ref probably didn't even realize the thing had started yet. I mean, he probably...
I didn't realize until I rewatched it that just like he did at the weigh-in, he was standing with his hands behind his back. Did you see that?
Masvidal. Yeah, then he started walking sideways, like kind of like he was,
right.
like he was faking it the whole time, and then he just took off a dead sprint.
And anybody, and Ben Askren hasn't said this, but anybody who's saying it was a lucky knee, that it was a it wasn't luck, it was planned.
It's planned, it but was the practiced. Likelihood, but the likelihood of that connecting on the first strike of the match
is slim. But Masvidal explained at the press conference that he was purposely going to do that in the first round. Which makes sense.
Did Steven Seagal teach it to him?
No, probably. With the blindfold. With chopsticks and a fly. So big ups. Masvidal, everything that I expected.
Unbelievable. To happen during International Fight Week, I mean, that was a stacked card.
He said something about, because, you know, when he had that altercation in his last fight, and he said something about a three-piece and a soda or something like that, and he said something about this wasn't a three-piece and a soda. This was the MGM buffet.
Which, you know, you love buffets.
I only went to one the whole time I was there.
Really?
Yeah, the day we left.
What?
We went to Aria. There's this app. There's a video game. And you can play these games. It's, you know, blackjack and everything that you play in Vegas.
Okay.
You play on this app for free.
Okay.
So unless you need that adrenaline of losing money,
right.
This is the best thing. And then you build up these tokens, these coins,
right.
That you can actually use in Vegas.
Oh, really? For like real?
For real. So we got the Aria Buffet for free.
Wow.
You know, we needed 55,000 coins. I think I have 800,000. My daughter has like 1 million. Wow. My wife has none.
She didn't eat.
Yeah. She didn't eat that day.
Yeah, literally.
like,
sorry, my wife doesn't have any coins.
One or the other. So it was really the only buffet. We went, we hit a couple really good meals.
Right.
I experienced something. I got something to mark off on my bucket list. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's set the show.
Oh.
We're 10 minutes in.
Yeah, we are in.
Ray Sefo will be on in about 20 minutes. Another Professional Fighters League is tomorrow. So as that continues on. And Aspen Ladd, your main event this Saturday in Sacramento, I think they are.
I think it is.
The return of Uriah Faber.
Josh
Aspen Shannon. Ladd, your main event. So she will be on in the second hour. So that's kind of laying the groundwork there. A list of things that I've done in my life.
Yes.
I don't go out and look for things to add to that, but I added to it. I did something in Las Vegas that I have never done before. If I'm lucky, I'll never do again.
Sure.
Looking back, it was pretty cool.
I already know what it is.
I went and saw my buddies, the Tenors of Rock, on Friday night.
You did.
And they were phenomenal, as always.
Little Jimmy.
And they did not miss a beat in the middle of about a 40-second earthquake.
A 7.1 magnitude.
In California.
In California.
Yeah, so that's not what it was in Vegas, but we felt it.
So the earth was shaken.
Was
it earthquake? What was the song? AC/DC? Isn't there like a...
I don't know.
The earth was shaken.
I did a tweet. I said I felt the earth move under my feet, which I think was a Simon song or something.
Okay.
It was interesting. It was... Well, and we looked up in the awning and all the lights were above us from where our seats were. And my wife was a little concerned because if this is the real deal, which it was,
right.
If those things fall, we could die.
Sure. I mean, it's big speakers. I mean, all the scaffolding above. All the.
It was interesting. It was. I like hurricanes over earthquakes. Because hurricanes, you know, is coming. You can plan for an earthquake.
How long did it last?
Well, I already said it once. Oh, thanks for tuning
seconds?
In. About 40 seconds.
So that's like 8 Masvidal fights.
No. No.
It's 40 seconds.
It would be 10... About 20 Masvidal fights. We could have watched 20 Masvidal Ben Askren fights.
Knees.
So it was an experience. It was. Do I need to ask you my question?
Yeah.
Do I need to vent? Do I need to vent about a fighter, or do I need to ask you a question?
Well, you like to vent. You use the show for personal therapy. Like if you get something off your chest, like there's something wrong. So let's start with the vent.
All right. I have a problem.
Okay.
We'll get to the problem about. The U.S. women's national team. Okay. Phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
Kicked butt.
Domination.
Domination. Everything that they did, they backed up. We all know where I'm going, the whole situation with the captain, the whole thing with, I don't know if you saw, another player took the flag and threw it on the ground. Another player ran over and picked it up.
So
there is a fighter that we know, that we both personally know, who said on his book of face that it's so disgusting, he will not root for Team USA in the World Cup. And I responded to him, that's as bad as doing what they did. For you to root against. Now, I put on my book of face, I'm not going to root for him, but I'm not going to root against him.
Right.
I will never root against this country, ever, no matter what.
Right.
But for this fighter or any fighter to say that's so brutal what they're doing, I'm going to root for another country, killed me. So you know what his response was? You're going to love this one. Put the uniform on and then come back and talk to me.
Wow.
I said, I had the uniform on. I'm ready to talk.
Yeah.
When do you want to talk?
Right.
It just, the whole thing has bothered me. And for him and for whoever else to say we're going to root against, you can't root against the country.
Can't.
Because that's, again, you're grouping everybody. Are you going to hold the entire team responsible for the incompetence, might not be the right word, but the brutal decisions in my eyes that some of these women did? You know what else I want to disagree with?
Yes.
And I'm going to do it publicly right here for the first time.
Please do.
There's been a lot of people that have posted, well, you know, after they won, there was chants in the stands about equal pay.
Right.
Equal pay.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg came out, said that.
I disagree.
You do?
I totally disagree.
Because they don't generate the same revenue that the men's program does?
No. They don't deserve equal pay.
Why?
They deserve more.
That, well, that's true.
So I'm saying it's not equal
won
pay.
More. They've won more.
They're a better team.
And they generate more income and more revenue because the men's team doesn't generate any sales like jersey sales.
Because they don't win.
Right, because they don't win. Right.
And the women win, and they need to be paid more, not equal, more.
But like the NBA, for example.
Except for the captain.
Like the women's NBA will never make equal pay because they don't generate enough revenue to make it equal to the NBA.
It's totally different.
Completely different.
You can't compare that to us against them, a U.S. national team that went and did what they were supposed to do and won. They won.
They dominated.
They get 4 stars on their jerseys now.
And they scored 13 goals in the first game.
And I think it was all planned that way by whoever the clothing company is. Because now you have to go out and buy new jerseys. You can't wear the old jersey with 3 stars.
Right.
You got to have the 4 stars because it's 4 world titles. And they are world champions.
I mean, I just don't like the politics of it. I mean, keep your politics out of it. The Kaepernick thing and then this knucklehead, whatever her name is, Rapina.
I don't even want to know her name.
It doesn't matter. Like they say,
I'm okay with you having an opinion. I just don't think that's the place to do it.
Right.
But I also continue to say, you have the right to do whatever you want that is legal, and I have the right to call you a moron.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm right, and I'm not saying you're right.
When it comes to patriotism and the flag, you know, it's still shocking to me that the UFC, even as mainstream as it is, on ESPN, that they don't do the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem before a sporting competition.
Why?
Well, I mean, bare knuckle boxing does it. We did it at the jiu-jitsu tournament where most of the guys Brazilian.
It's not necessary.
It's not. But it's tradition.
Tradition just because somebody started it? The NFL started it because they were getting paid.
Yeah, but it's a tradition. Like every sporting event I've ever been to, they start with, please rise for the national anthem. We used to do the national anthem, Pledge of Allegiance, to start school in the morning. I mean, it's just tradition of the foundation of our country.
I don't think it makes it right or wrong, okay? And you know where I stand, being the vet.
Yeah, of course.
You don't have to, but if you do it, you know, then you're opening up yourself to more can of worms lately.
Well, yeah, because everything's too political.
I had a guy unfriend me on the Book of Face.
That's normal.
And I was okay with it.
You're
I don't even
it.
I don't even know why. It's insensitive what I'm going to mention this.
Okay.
You know, we have MMA stuff to talk about. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. But here's a lot of people, they don't listen to my whole statements. They don't listen to everything that I'm saying. They get the first part, and because it's so awful that they tune out, just like you every time we start the show.
That's because you're a career radio personality and you tease people.
I don't tease.
You tease.
I don't.
You drop hints. You make misleading statements to like get a certain reaction, and then you have a story to back it up that makes it a feel good at the end. But most people they're not engaged enough to follow along for the whole story.
All right, so I saw something somewhere that there was a family, I believe in Europe,
okay,
that was totally upset,
okay,
at Walt Disney World or at the Walt Disney Corporation.
Okay,
they had a young son pass away.
Okay.
nobody knows what that feels like. Nobody does. Every situation is different.
Sure.
I would say that I can understand it a little bit more than most
sure.
with the loss of my grandson, but nobody understands what families go through and all that. I'm not being insensitive to the family.
Right.
And I've said that from the very beginning. So I guess they went to purchase the headstone or whatever the stone is that goes in the ground. I don't know which. Right. The headstone is what it's like that, you know, stands up. What lays right. flat? Is it still called a headstone?
I don't know what they call them.
Okay. So the stone itself.
Right.
They wanted to put the Spider-Man logo on the stone.
Right.
And I'm assuming, and you know what assume means, but I'm assuming that the
trademark in front
of it is trademarked.
Right.
So the company said you need to reach out to Disney for permission. I'm assuming all this.
Right, of course.
Because I can't do it because he'd get sued.
Right.
Longfellow deed story short, Walt Disney Company turned it down. They declined.
Okay.
And they said that they have always declined. That it's Walt Disney himself had always said he didn't want on urns and grave sites and this, that, the other. I'm agreeing with you and everyone else who wants to say this, that it's awful. It's a shame. But it's their right to say no. So right. everybody is making a big deal about the greedy, about Disney, about everything that's going on. And all I'm trying to say is it stems back to the whole Warren Sapp thing that I always talk about. You're going up to somebody and you're asking somebody for something, whether it's common sense or not. It's immaterial. And I'm the bad guy because I'm saying, I understand what Disney's doing.
Right.
I understand what they're saying. Do I agree with it? It doesn't matter if I agree with it.
It's not your decision.
You asked permission to use something that is not yours. It was declined, and now you're crying the blues about it. I understand it's an awful period of time in their life, in anyone's life, whatever. But to me, it just doesn't make sense. You asked for it. You were declined. Move on.
But on the same token, I mean, how many tattoo shops are putting Superman logos on Shaquille O'Neal and other anybody and everybody using their trademarks in tattoo form or inappropriately?
I could be wrong, but I don't think you can get a tattoo of Mickey Mouse.
I'm sure people have them.
I believe I read something once that there's only one person that has it. And he has permission from Disney.
You know, there's other Mickey Mouse clones, other like...
I don't know.
I bet Shane Grossman has a Mickey Mouse tattoo somewhere.
I bet by the end of the show, you're going to have one on something. I get that. You know, and somebody came up with, well, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Maybe they coulda, shoulda, woulda. But then the guy who does the gravestone would be getting sued.
And they would probably remove the gravestone, which would be even more
probably.
Of a news story that Disney came and took the headstone, right? Reconfiscated their property or their logo.
I went to Pawn Stars.
Okay.
And I went with the family, and I saw a framed Bruce Buffer.
Buffer? The Buffer?
The Buffer was there. The big Buffer. A Bruce Buffer card that he reads from.
Right.
You know how he takes it and he throws it on the ground and sure. then somebody picks it up? It was there for sale. I want to say it was like $900.
Wow.
So then I went on eBay, and there's like six of them on eBay right now.
$12.
$700.
Oh, okay.
And I got a bigger kick out of this. I think that is something cool.
Right.
You know, again, when you ask for money, it's all up to if somebody's willing to pay for it.
Depending on what names are on that card.
Exactly.
Like who he's reading.
Exactly.
And what suit he was wearing.
Well, not the suit. The suit doesn't come suit up with matters. The card. No, it doesn't.
Because you want to have a picture of like where he's holding that card with the ensemble behind it.
Please don't make me call you a knucklehead again.
And after my what announcing suit? Role.
We don't care about you and your announcing role.
But I have a bigger respect for Bruce because I woke up Sunday morning. I couldn't even talk. My voice was completely shot.
Can I get back to the bout sheets?
That guy's my hero.
Okay, good. So I went on eBay and some of those cards, $700. And again, I'm not saying about the money. If somebody wants to pay for it, great. What I thought was kind of funny is the bout sheet. All right, the bout sheets that were all handed when right. we walk in
sure.
was signed by Bruce. It's one that I guess he used. It was almost $400 on eBay.
What? I got to start getting his autograph.
No, you need to think ahead. You need to get the Jits Kings bout sheet, autograph them, and then just make people, you know, take $40 or $50 from you to take it. That's so you're going to give them $50 to take it.
I'll just give them free pizza. There's value in pizza.
Many different ways I could go with that one.
Pizza's currency.
Has Luke Rockhold woke up yet?
I don't know. He can't eat pizza because he's got a broken jaw. He's not. He's maybe if we put it in a blender.
What did you think about the main event? the main events, you know, the main card.
Well, oh, man. I mean, I know Diego got manhandled by Chiesa. I mean, you know, at 170 pounds, Mike is a monster. He was huge at 155. But he couldn't finish the fight. And as dominant as he was, he couldn't finish a guy like Diego Sanchez, who is all heart and experience and transition.
And we're boys now.
And now you guys are back in good graces because he unblocked you on Facebook and
we were
and
never
Twitter.
In bad graces because he said he didn't know why he did it.
But I don't know. Is it more that Diego is so experienced that he stayed, that he didn't get submitted, and you know he's never lost to submission in his career, which is phenomenal to go in the Hall of Fame on Friday night and International Fight Week.
The fight went in the Hall of Fame.
Well, but he was a part of it.
The fight went in the Hall of Fame.
Do you think, you don't think he's going to go in the Hall of Fame as a fighter? I mean,
there's two different ways to ask that question.
His name built the sport.
Does he go in? Should he go in? That's two different things. Will he go in? Well, again, when one or two people sit in the ivory tower and say who's going in, then yeah, he may. Dana made the point of saying at the after fight press conference, Diego Sanchez is going nowhere. He helped build this company.
Right.
He didn't get finished, blah, 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 blah. And then he said Luke Rockhold and Holly Holm should call it a career.
I mean, I think Luke, I mean, man. I mean, how do you not? I mean, a broken jaw. I mean,
Luke almost got stopped in the first round.
Right.
You know, so, and was that the Herb Dean where somebody took three extra punches and shouldn't have? There was one that Herb was
a little slow on it.
A tad slow.
Right.
A tad. Now, I've been yelled at by the Florida State Boxing Commission. If I think it's an easy job, go do it. I never said it was easy.
Right. Of course.
You know, and I would probably be even slower.
Well, with so much like scrutiny for early stoppages and how. You know, some of these guys back in the golden era of the sport, they were bloodied and they looked like they're almost dead. And then they would slip a submission or some kind of arm bar and win the fight.
Well, Anderson Silva beat Chael, though Chael then went and tested positive after. I mean, he got pretty much manhandled for five and X amount of, you know, the great Joe Marquardt used to always say that Chael Sonnen won every round that he didn't win.
That's a great statement. It should be on a T-shirt.
It really should. It is kind of funny.
No, right. I think the card was stacked, and I can't wait to talk to it after the break and run it down. And I mean, we're not even talking about a Nunez head kick, which was maybe the greatest finish to any fight we've ever seen.
No, I think the greatest stoppage we've ever seen was Masvidal.
On the same fight night, on the same card. It's pretty incredible.
Masvidal showed much love to my brother, Eve Edwards. And then he said, most of you here have no clue who Eve Edwards is. And then I texted Eve Edwards and said, I think his kick moved ahead of yours. I'll show you the video of his no, no, no. It was definitely pretty funny. All right, we are one quarter down, three quarters to go. When we return, we're going to reach out to the president of the Professional Fighters League, Ray Sefo. He'll update us on what's going down later on this week, mainly tomorrow, with the Professional Fighters League, the women's lightweights and the welterweights on ESPN2 and ESPN+. Ray Sefo, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. In the sands of time, but I watch the world float to the dark side of the moon.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field. Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
We are back. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Twitter Pizza 2.
Duh.
Welcome back, Randy. That's your boy, Jack Schmidt.
Michael Jack Schmidt.
Jack.
You're going to say his name.
Was that his legal name, or was it just Jack with his nickname for hitting bombs?
I still have a thing in one of my studios. It's when he hit his 500th. Here's a long drive ball. Yeah, the great.
The greatest to come out of Philly?
No, my uncle's the greatest to come out of Philly.
Your uncle's Rocky?
No.
Oh.
Rocky is a fictional character. How about me meeting Ivan Drago?
Are you seriously going to replace Ric Flair with Ivan Drago?
I don't know.
On your screen?
I don't know. I don't know.
You can't.
Well, I can.
Ric Flair had, 20 world championships? I mean, Ivan Drago's got how many? None.
How many people has Ric Flair killed?
So there's that one kid, three in Albania. Five.
Okay. And how many has Ivan Drago killed?
I don't know.
I must break you.
Nice guy. It was interesting. And then we did sit in and we watched a little bit of the awards.
So he announced the induction for the Hall of Fame?
No.
What was he
doing? It's two entirely different things.
What was he doing? I don't know what he was doing there.
Nice research you do over there.
I didn't research Ivan Drago. I only
First of all, you should.
Americans.
Okay.
I'm American.
America. he was the host of the MMA Awards.
Okay.
Which had nothing to do with the Hall of Fame.
Nothing.
Okay. MMA Awards, Wednesday. Hall of Fame, Friday.
Well, I've never been, so I didn't know the difference.
Earthquake, Friday.
You're there. You're our on-scene reporter. Like, tell us break it down. What does Fight Week do? Like, why is that such a big deal, and what's it like to be there in person?
Honestly, you know, it's funny, because I was talking to somebody about this, and to me, it's really not that big of a deal anymore. You know, I thought it was a bigger deal, you know, when they had the Fan Expo. And the Fan Expo, to me, added a lot to it.
Okay.
Now it's just a big tent down by Fremont where you go and you get some autographs.
Oh, okay.
I went to it a year or two ago or whatever, walked around for 32 seconds. You know, I'd like the whole Fan Aspect Expo when it was all the clothing companies and all the companies, but that's not the case anymore. International Fight Week this week, where in the past, I remember there was an event Friday and a fight Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
There's still a lot to do. I mean, don't get me wrong. So Wednesday, the most important thing of International Fight Week was our broadcast.
Of course.
From out there where we had Diego and Gilbert Melendez. Wednesday night was the MMA Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday was the interviews. You know, it's like a scrum kind of thing and face-offs, and where Masvidal again walked across the stage with his arms behind him.
Okay.
And Askren just, you know, why are you so mad, bro? Why are you so mad? And Masvidal is just like, What's wrong with you? We'll get back to International Fight Week.
Sure.
But I know a lot is going on today and tomorrow with another episode of the Professional Fighters League. So let's go to my man. I had the opportunity. I ran into him at Extreme Couture for a few minutes. Ray Cepho. Ray, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. I appreciate a couple minutes of your time as you get ready for another episode of PFL tomorrow night. Tell us what's on tap. I believe it's, what, women's lightweights and welterweights?
That is correct. It's the women's lightweight and welterweights, yes.
Who are some of the names that we should be paying attention to tomorrow night on the big letter, the ESPN and ESPN Plus?
Yeah, obviously, Magomedov, Maka, who is the headliner for tomorrow, and he'll be facing Chris Curtis, who, you know, his debut on for this season, did an amazing job winning his fight, and of course, the co-main is Kata Harrison, will be fighting Morgan Fryer, and none other than Ray Cooper, the hard-hitting Ray Cooper. he'll be faced off with, you know, a guy that's very experienced in the game and a local in John Howard.
It must be nice. You know, all of the fighters, obviously, on your roster is nice, but I'm saying when you have those names like a Ray Cooper that you don't even have to say anything else. You say Ray Cooper's on a card,
right.
Tune in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's so many fighters out there that hasn't gotten that kind of recognition or hasn't had the opportunity to be on a big stage. And so when I saw, the first time I seen a few things, footage on Ray, I was, you know, I liked this guy from the start. And, of course, when the season 2018 kicked off, he just proved why he deserved to be where he is right now.
You know, I've tried to explain to people, and, you know, we have so many new fans coming on board, you know, the MMA world, you know, with ESPN now, you know, taking a hold of you guys and the UFC and talking more MMA, that people still don't understand, or as the new fans come, realize what the Professional Fighters League does and how it really truly does make the fights more exciting, because it's really more important.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is with PFL, every fight matters. Whether you're the first fighter of the night or the last fighter of the night, every fight matters, because all these guys are trying to win to get points to get to the playoff.
Well, you know, and it's go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you know, and then from the playoffs, obviously, that the two finalists get to go to the championship round, which allows them the opportunity to win that $1 million.
You know, another thing that this does, and I know that you guys have all thought about it and talked about this, and, you know, we've talked about, you know, for years and years about maybe posting, you know, so you know where you are and going into round two or going into round three. And in a way, right, that's what PFL does, because if you've lost that first fight, you know you have to go basically balls to the wall in your next fight, because you have to catch up and gain those points, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it creates. That's what creates excitement and work, you know, causes these guys to come out and really put it on the line, because if you lose two fights, you're out of the season. And so earning those points, you know, and again, the great thing about PFL also is that it gives these guys the opportunity to be in charge of their destiny. Obviously, for them, the more they win, the more they move forward, and closer they get to the not only the world title, but also the $1 million.
I know I asked you this last time, but obviously I'd love for you to talk about it again, the relationship that you have with the Four Letter Network, with ESPN. I know tomorrow night, ESPN2 and ESPN+.
Right. Listen, they've been tremendously amazing. Like, you know, ESPN couldn't ask for a better partner. They've been absolutely amazing and welcoming to us, and we love working together with them. And, the relationship is booming, and we love every second that we're here as partners with ESPN.
You know, and it's got to be a plus, whether it's from the management side or a fighter side, when, you know, you're getting ready, you're getting prepared, and then you see your name, you see your fight on ESPN. It's a station that we all have grown up watching, you know, whether we like what that sport is, baseball, football, darts, poker. But to be on the station that we all have seen has got to mean a great deal to you as management and to the fighters.
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, I remember when I was fighting for K1, I would watch K1 on ESPN a long time ago. And just last week, they aired PFL 1 while I was sitting there watching TV. And it's just, it just gives you this great feeling that you're a partner with these this amazing network and the people that are there. And absolutely, it just fulfills every feeling that you have in terms of being proud to be part of something big and something great.
Before I let you go, give me the times. When does it start? What time on ESPN2, and what time is it live on Plus?
Tomorrow night, I think it's live on ESPN Plus Eastern Time, 9 p.m. For ESPN2, and then I believe it's 7 for ESPN Plus.
Good enough. And if anybody needs to get him more of the information, all they got to do is call us at the station. We can give them the exact times, the fight card, the whole nine yards. Ray, as always, thank you very much, sir. The day before the fight, I know how busy you are. Can't wait to have you back on. Can't wait to see you in Vegas again.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Take care. That is the great Ray Sefo. Well, now you want to come back on?
I'm back on.
All right. Ray's a good guy.
You believe in, like, conspiracies?
Depends. Why? What are you thinking? And then I'll tell you if I believe it.
Well, I think Alexa is listening on our radio show today, because as you're talking to Ray, like, literally, Alex Nicholson, the Spartan, with his Professional Fighters League flying knee knockout, as we're talking about.
Yeah, the flying knees are impressive.
Masvidal.
Well, Masvidal's was more impressive only because it was 2.2 seconds into the fight.
Unbelievable.
I'm not even going to say 5 seconds.
Have you ever seen anything like that? We've been covering this since.
I've seen the flying knee.
We've seen that. I mean, obviously, no one's seen that fast of a knockout in the history, but.
Well, first of all, that's not. You don't know if that's a true statement.
No.
Nobody has seen that fast of a knockout in the UFC.
Okay.
That's not what you said. I'm just saying.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you said nobody has seen. You know, I'm sure somewhere something like that has happened.
I'm sure. On bare knuckle, they're closer. They start closer. So maybe one punch and.
Bare knuckle news coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've reached out to Ken Shamrock. He's a little busy, I guess.
Starting up the Valor bare knuckle boxing.
It'll be interesting, and I'm gonna give a little bit of a nugget. Not much of a nugget, just a little bit of a nugget.
Okay.
I was told our guys, BKFC, is going to have a huge announcement.
Huge.
Bigger than Paulie, bigger than Artem, a huge announcement of some names that are coming on board. To fight, not to just be involved.
You know what's crazy is, so I left the Jits Kings production.
And we'll talk about that.
But I left it Saturday night. I was on my way home, and I knew the fights were on. I knew Jones was coming up. I wanted to catch the fight, so I stopped by a local bar, a local restaurant, pub, tons of TVs. I won't mention the name here, but I said, do you guys have the UFC fight on?
That's the first professional thing you've done since being on this program.
What's that?
Not give names out.
Oh, yeah. So I go, and there's no, we're a family establishment. We don't show that kind of thing on TV here.
It's a bar.
It's a restaurant bar. So I'm like, whoa. I was like, okay. So I go to another place that's more of a pub, that's more, you know, hardcore drinking and more geared for that. Same deal. No, we don't show that here. I'm sorry. It's against our company values. So my question is, it's taken the UFC 25 years with major money behind it, major promotion behind it, ESPN behind it, and it's still not acceptable on our restaurants and common places. How long will it take for bare knuckle boxing to catch on?
All right. Remind me that question and we'll get back to it.
Okay.
I would like you to write down, I don't want you to say it publicly, write down that establishment.
Okay.
And tell me what it is, because I'm going to call them tomorrow.
All right.
And I'm going to question their values. And I'm the question that I basically have, all right, did they not show it because it's a pay-per-view? Do they show it at all? I've been to that restaurant that you just showed me.
Okay.
And I've seen it on their TVs.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because there's more than one of those in the Tampa Bay area.
There are.
And multiple. I'll call corporate. Now, you know me.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm always looking for a good fight anyway.
Yeah, of course you are.
You know, they've shown it when it hasn't been a pay-per-view. So I'm just curious. Are you not showing it? And I understand not showing the pay-per-view.
Sure.
Because they charge by seats.
Right,
and,
of course, because they consider it broadcasting, so they charge the operator of the establishment number of seating capacity times a fee.
And I'm really surprised that locations get the pay-per-views.
Right.
Between me and you and the fence box.
But that was what made...
How can they make their money back? Because I've gone to these, and I know the press box shows them, and we've talked about it. People sit there from 6 o'clock to midnight and order a glass of water.
Right.
And now they're not selling food. The servers are not making money. And they have a nut that they need to recoup.
Sure.
And it's not happening.
But back in the day, that was the way that you watched these events.
Back
They were, you know, packed. Wing House and Hooters and these places were like parking lot stuffed. And then everybody went outside and tried to duplicate the Tito Ortiz, and Chuck Liddell fights. It was but the reason I brought that up is, it's one of those things where you have a UFC fight, the main event, where Santos tore every ligament in his knee, everything, right? All of them. Then you have Luke Lockhold, who broke his jaw, right? So, when bare knuckle is just flesh wounds and it's just superficial cuts, and the more damaging is done by a 4-ounce glove, how long before people actually understand that?
Well, there's the difference between understanding it and accepting it. I don't think that location that said they're not going to show up for family values, if in fact that's true, and I said, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm going to question it. It's ironic, family values, that's bad, but over drinking, excessive drinking, possibly drinking too much and getting behind the wheel is okay.
Right.
That's all right. Because our family values are okay.
Sure.
Bare knuckle is going to have a much bigger problem because watching it on TV, I can understand if I'm at a restaurant and I'm eating with my family or just by myself, and I look up and I see what I think we're going to see with Leonard Garcia and Jason Knight, I may not want to continue eating.
I was watching American Ninja Warrior. The lady hit her face on a ring, blood running down her face. She finished. They aired the entire thing. That was more gory than some of these fights that I've seen on ESPN.
Like Diego Sanchez said numerous times last week, ship, things happen. Just saying.
Diego said a lot of things. I don't know. What was he saying? You were there. Where is Diego Sanchez?
He's an interesting cat.
He like the way he describes, he went into deep details and like in depth about.
But don't you look at Diego a little differently now after, not how he explained it and not how long it took for him to explain it.
Because it took forever.
But the fact that here is a guy who is getting ready to fight. He has his own fight coming up.
Right.
Yet he took the time. I've been in some of these gyms.
Sure.
I've seen what goes on in these gyms. And I'm not just saying any gym. I mean, I train jiu-jitsu in Tampa Bay. But, I've been to Uriah Faber's. I've been to Eddie Bravo's. I've been to Gracie Baja, where this whole thing started.
Sure.
And, I see how, focused everybody is. For an athlete, whether it's Diego or anybody else, to take time to go and see what's up with this person and take care of this person. And I remember vividly at David Vieira's, Uriah Faber was there. And we were doing a photo shoot. It wasn't really a photo shoot. The media was there filming him.
Okay.
And this guy came up to me and said, I drove 2.5 hours to come roll with Uriah. Do you think it's possible? And I thought to myself, well, you just wasted 2.5 hours of your life. it's like, I just got to Yankee Stadium. You think Babe Ruth and I can have, play catch, even though, Trout now does that, which I think is phenomenal. So, like I've always said, I don't answer for people other than you. I don't send people here for free pizza, except for now I do because of you.
Right.
But I would never answer for other people.
Sure.
So this person came up to me, said something about, do you think I can roll with Uriah? And I kind of made probably not.
Right.
And I went up to Uriah and I said, hey, this kid just drove 2.5 hours. What do you want me to tell him? He said, tell him to get ready.
Wow.
And so he went and got ready. They went on the mat. He was on the mat for literally about the same amount of time that Ben Askren fought. And then he ran into the bathroom and threw up.
No.
Because he was so nervous and hyped and excited and, whatever. And then he was done. And Uriah's like, where are you going? You drove all that way. Let's go. And he took him back out there and rolled with him and, that kind of stuff. So.
Well, and for those of you that didn't tune in last week, which is shame on you, we're referring to Diego Sanchez had met a kid with Down syndrome.
Well, it was a young man, not a
Isaac,
kid.
Isaac Marquez. And they gave him the nickname the Shermanator. And he started training with them, and then they did
Trained with them for a year. This isn't like, hey, come for 2 weeks and let's do this. I think this says a lot, not just about the young man. I think he had Down syndrome.
He did.
And, you know, of the consistent that this man came back, but that Diego, no matter how much of the time he devoted, it doesn't matter. It could be 5 minutes every time he came in. It could be an hour. It doesn't matter. I know you don't give people 5 minutes.
No, no.
On a regular basis. I'm not saying that as a nasty dig to you, because you're one of the most giving people I know. I'm just saying, you know, we don't do that. We want to think we'll do it, and we'll do it today.
We talk about it, and we might have good intentions to do more. But then it's just like the charity, like all the charity happens between, like, Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. You know, like, and then people are like, oh, my life is busy again. And you forget about all these same people are in need all year round, but yet we only are charitable during the holidays.
My thinking, my thoughts on Diego Sanchez have changed
for sure
since last Wednesday.
Well, because you know him as a crazy guy, you know him as a nut,
as a character,
you know him as a wild out, you know, reckless guy. But when you see compassion and you see heart and you see that he scripted a fight for the Shermanator to win, an MMA fight against Diego the Nightmare Sanchez or Lionheart, like how many nicknames can you have in the UFC?
As many as you want.
They should retire nicknames.
You said that.
I want a petition. I want to make a petition, just like they do. I want to get names retired. There's no more Iceman. There's no more.
So you're going to be
Huntington beat Bad Boy.
Why? He took it away.
Well, yeah.
I think that was even before you were involved here. You know, he came on, then became the People's Champ. And I'm like, Tito, you're always going to be the Huntington Beach Bad Boy. And he's like, well, I have young kids now. I'm okay. That's your issue, not mine. You know, now you're the People's Champ. No, you're the Huntington Beach Bad Boy. That's who you are. That's who you always will be.
Yeah.
And then he came back to it.
Speaking of Tito, doesn't he have a fight coming up again?
He does.
Against a wrestler?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I know that when Tito was walking the red carpet, everybody was trying to get information out of him.
Yeah. Well, it's actually published.
What's published?
The wrestler's name.
Oh, is it really?
He's fighting.
Oh, okay. Well, then if it's published, it's published.
I will fold up. I'll do my crack research.
I'm just playing stupid.
It's Ortiz to face ex-WWE champ Del Rio in MMA fight.
Interesting.
And released 19 hours ago.
Oh.
Veteran Alberto Del Rio in a mixed martial art bout for the Combat Americas promotion.
So keep reading that while I text Tito and see if it's out yet.
Officials confirmed Tuesday with ESPN, one fight before Ortiz defeated Chael Sonnen by first round. Wow, that's a different story. So that's, looks like he's going to fight for Combat America's promotion.
Well, we already knew that. We knew the promotion. Yeah. Well, the promotion has been public.
Yeah, it's all over the Twitterverse, or like you like to call it.
Well,
you like to call him Jacob.
All I know is when you tell me something, anybody, doesn't matter who, and you say it's between you and me, anything I know stays between you and me.
Well, you knew about this one way before it was released.
I didn't know about that one.
Oh, okay.
I just know who he's fighting.
Oh, okay.
I know where he's fighting.
Okay.
And I know when he's fighting.
Okay.
I don't know anything about what you just read.
Oh. We better call your boy. Yo, boy.
Diego?
No, Tito.
Oh, Tito. Tito. Tito was on the red carpet, got a little photograph with Ivan Drago.
Nice.
I must break you.
I will break you.
If he dies, he dies.
it all was. It was all good stuff. So what else from the fight last Saturday? Oh, no, you know what? I know we only have about 6 minutes before the top of the hour, so talk about the Jits King promotion. Talk about good. Who was the winner? What do you remember? Do you remember anything? How nervous were you? Or because you're such a showboat, it didn't even affect you.
So I was looking for a tuxedo.
I didn't mean showboat. I meant a tool.
You know, I wanted to be professional, right? Which is something I don't really know do a lot of.
You want my comment?
Yeah.
The red shoes were killer.
Oh, thank you.
No, I thought it was good.
Well, because remember we saw those in Denver. Remember when we went to that shoe store in Denver for the 25th anniversary UFC?
I don't remember.
We walked to a shoe store, and they were red shoes. You took a picture of them, and you're like, oh, these are like, they're awesome. So
you took my idea.
I took your idea. Okay. I put together the red shoes. Then I knew I would be on the jitsu mat, so I made the socks match. So that way, from a distance, it would look like I'm still wearing the same outfit. Then I had the Bruce Buffer bow tie on. And I took it for a serious. I got my hair cut. As you can see, there's no more mohawk. I looked professional. I shaved my face. And I really took it professional. And I worked with a group of guys that were truly professional. So shout out to the Just Kings promotion. Yes, I was a little nervous. You know, it was our first event. It was their first event. So everybody's trying to figure out their role and what they do.
And just a little nugget, we're in negotiations to do some things with them, too.
And so cool. But I guess the biggest surprise for me was, you know, I wasn't the commentator, right? So I was the announcer. So while the actual event was going on and they were actually grappling and the jitsu was happening, they were broadcasting live on flowgrappling.com. So it was kind of stale for me in the crowd because it was really quiet so they could actually hear and announce. So I wasn't over-speaking them on the PA system. So it took a little time to adjust and get used
to
it.
Well, that is the job of the announcer.
For sure, of course.
To be quiet during the events.
And so, you know, that was took a little time. But we had 13 submissions out of 25 matches. There was 5 ADCC trial champions that competed. So, you know, we had big names, black belts around the country. People flew in from New York and Minnesota and Boulder, Colorado. So there were big names. Nick Rodriguez beat brown belt Jason Reyes, right, which is a huge super fight. Is almost 500 pounds of muscle going at it on this mat. And then our winner, you know, the 16-man round robin tournament, it was 165 pound or less, was William Tackett, an 18-year-old phenom.
I mean, really?
This kid, 18-year-old kid, went through some serious, serious competition. So it was an amazing venue. It was held in Ybor City, just in the heart of Tampa. It was at a stadium theater. We were up on the stage. It was elevated, so there wasn't a bad seat in the house. Some of the views, I've already had 50,000 views already, some of the matches.
Really?
On flowgrappling.com.
Very cool. All right, so I have to ask you this, and for you to be honest, I know it'll be difficult.
Yeah.
Were you a tool when you did the announcing, or did you do it straight, or did you add some flow to it?
I did. You know, it was fluid. Like, things were changing on the dime, right? So some things happened, and the timing got pushed off. It took longer to set up, so we got a late start, so we had to skip some intermissions. And I didn't really have, like, a lot of script to go off of. So
that's not what I'm asking.
So I had to improvise, but I was truly professional.
No screaming, no the Japanese lady from Pride, you didn't do any of that?
No.
In the headquarter.
No, but I did. I mean, I did the Bruce Buffer, like the announcer, like where I drug out the names, and I announced them. They came from the back of the auditorium.
You gotta be careful when you drop names because you could get sued.
That's true.
Just be careful.
I did the ring announcer style. You know, I drug it out. You know, I had to practice the names. I went the night before to the weigh-ins and got their names and wrote them out on the card of how to pronounce them. And I know we like to butcher it here. It's kind of like
we don't like to butcher it. You butcher it.
You like to see me butcher it's a segment on our program where I read names and I make fun of how bad they spell the name. So I took it serious. I practiced. I worked hard. I think it was a great event. I think it all around is a professional event. 8 Limbs Creative. Tony Salazar did an amazing job. The video and the audio is awesome.
Did you do a good enough job that Jits Kings is going to charge you less to do it next time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Less money for sure.
Less money out of your pocket for you to do it.
You know, what do they call those? Damage, or?
I don't know.
Like a appliance store. Scratch and dent.
Scratch and dent.
Yeah. So I'll give them a scratch and dent prize next time.
Okay. Well, I thought that's what you already had.
No,
I'm saying you're paying him, aren't you?
Yeah, I got to pay to be there.
You're paying him to be there.
I had the best seat in the house.
You probably did.
I literally did. I was inches away.
That's perfect. And were you okay? Were you calm enough driving home, reliving what you watched on the mats?
I'll be honest. It was...
No, lie to me.
It was a huge adrenaline rush. I mean, I was on a cloud 12. I mean, leaving there, I felt so accomplished.
Have you ever been on a cloud 11?
Yeah, I was there once.
Were you?
I
don't know the difference between 11 and 12.
But I think for me, you know, it was just, it was great to represent Knockout Radio. It was great to be a part. You know, you gave me obviously a platform and a voice years ago to spew my content from.
Wait, you have content?
Well, sort of. I mean, I can't prepare today. But
I want everybody to know how he came prepared. There is 7-10 lines.
Bullet points.
Ken Shamrock, outline. UFC 238.
It's like an outline.
That's about the extent of it.
It's an outline. But, you know, like, I think, you know, it felt good. It felt great to dress up. It felt great to be a professional. It felt great to work with a team of professionals. And I look forward to the next one.
All right. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. A lot of cool stuff still to talk about. Aspen Ladd coming up, the main event Saturday night. And we'll get to it when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sup. Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
This is Mike Allstott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.